keep up with the guests and topics on What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. Friend us on Facebook and Twitter. Search under Sharon Kay's 411.
It's What's the 411. Here again, Sharon Kay.
All right, to Nashville. Sharon Kay is in the house. Mighty glad to be on. Jazzy 88 WFSK, Historic Fisk University. And always on the show, I love to have my community news segment so I can see what's up. What y'all doing? What you doing? And see what the community is up to. And it's always a joy to talk to this lady because she is one of our very close supporters and close listeners and friends, Miss Ellen Pryor from the Frist Art Museum. Ellen, hey.
Hey, how you doing, Sharon?
I'm just doing well. I know normally you would be in here with me.
I know.
But we'll just have to do phone until times get better. How have you been?
You know, I've been like everybody else, hanging in, hanging on. We're at the museum. We're actually as busy as ever. We're working really hard to move as much information and exhibition programming online as we can, because we can't gather either. But the museum is open, and people are coming to see us, and for that we are tremendously grateful. We have a house full of absolutely exquisite exhibitions, including the work of Fisk's own Terry Atkins. We are sharing an exhibition with the Van Vechten Gallery at Fisk, and the Van Vechten has half of the exhibition, and we have the other, and we could not be prouder to be working with Jamal Sheets and the Carl Van Vechten Gallery. It is just absolutely terrific.
Those people are just awesome.
Aren't they, though?
Yes.
I mean, just fabulous.
And enthusiastic for the arts and for the collaborations and people coming and being excited. I just, you know, it just does my heart good. Now, how was, since you guys reopened, what do people need to keep in mind when they come in?
Well, we're open every day from, until 10 to 5:30, and on Sundays we open 1 to 5:30, and we are not staying open at night right now, so we're closing every day at 5:30. People need to get their tickets in advance before they come, and those are all available through our website, and that's fristartmuseum.org. Mm-hmm. Members come free of charge, but everybody needs a ticket. 18 and under are free of charge, but we need to keep it. They need to get a ticket, because we are really reducing the number of people who can come into the building right now. And mm-hmm. and the actual byproduct of that is the galleries, you'll feel like you're alone. You will feel like you have an entire museum to mm-hmm. yourself. And so you can linger and enjoy every piece of art and really spend a lot of time. And in normal times, sometimes it doesn't happen that way.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, it is just, it's an exquisite time to come visit the Frist. As I said, We have a building full of art. We have not only the beautiful Terry Atkins exhibition,
mm-hmm.
Our half of it, we also have an exhibition from Tate London, the work of J.M.W. Turner, who is one of the world-renowned for his exquisite use, or his painting of light and use of light. And it's just, we worked for 20 years to get this. When I first mm-hmm. got involved with the Frist, way back in the mid-90s, the work of J.M.W. Turner was the first exhibition we said we wanted to get, and it's taken us this long.
Mm.
And when we shut down in March, we renegotiated with all our lenders, including Tate in London, to be able to keep all these exhibitions through the summer. And so we are so fortunate and so grateful to all the lenders for allowing us to do that. We also have the work of a Mumbai-based artist, Jatish Kalat. The exhibition is called Return to Sender, and there are three major works there, and one of them when I say immersive, I don't have the vocabulary to describe it,
mm-hmm.
but you actually walk across a letter that is being reflected on the floor, and it is a letter that Mahatma Gandhi wrote to Adolf Hitler. in an effort to save the world. And this letter is projected, and it's projected on a fog screen mm-hmm. that scrolls down onto the floor. And as you watch it, you can actually walk through this fog screen. And we had the health department come in and take a look at it. There's no chance of spreading anything through that. and it's really just stunning and such a tremendous experience. And then we have the work of the social practice art of Mel Ziegler, who is at Vanderbilt University, and this particular work is called Flag Exchange, mm-hmm. and it is breathtaking when you walk in the galleries. There are 50 American flags of all sizes hanging from the ceiling. And what Mel did, he travels the country a lot, and he took flags, fresh new flags, in his truck with him. And when he saw a tattered flag, he approached the owner of the property, the owner of the flag, and asked if he could exchange the tattered flag for a new one. And in so doing, he engaged in wonderful discussions mm-hmm. about the meaning of the flag as a symbol. What does the flag mean? How do people react to the flag? And these flags are all hanging in all stages of their tatteredness. And it's real. And then the stories appear on a screen we have in the gallery. And so it really is a conversation starter, and really makes one think about the notion of country, the notion of symbols, mm-hmm. And is really, as I said, it's tremendously thought-provoking, and really speaks to the vision of the Frist and helping everybody look at the world around them in new ways.
So what kind of preparations, because you guys were shut down because of the phases the city went through, like so many of the other businesses and entertainment venues in Nashville. I think a lot of people are very relieved to know that they can come back to your facility. What are some of the comments you've been hearing from the patrons that come there?
You know, it's really wonderful. Because people are buying their tickets in advance online, mm-hmm. we're able to contact them, and we are asking people while they're there, and then contacting them afterwards to ask them, you know, did they feel safe? What did they think we could improve on? Were there things they noticed? And overwhelmingly, the comment that came back was, we feel safe coming. And we have done, as many people have done, we are requiring masks or cloth face coverings to come into the museum. And, of mm-hmm. course, that protects all of us. And we're taking people's temperatures as they come in. All the members of the staff, of course, are wearing masks. Many are wearing face shields. Mm-hmm. We have put up plexiglass barriers throughout the museum. Our high-touch areas, which is Martin Art Quest mm-hmm. and the gift shop and the cafe, unfortunately are not open now, but that's because they are high-touch areas, and we have been very conservative in our approach to reopening. Our sanitation procedures have been heightened tremendously. We have changed the filtration, enhanced the filtration system in the entire building. So we have done a good bit in an effort to make people really safe. The health department, I think I mentioned, came and looked. We asked them to please come and help us look at this Jatish Kalat exhibition particularly. But then we showed them our plan for reopening with mm-hmm. diagrams of the galleries. And so they were, I think they were impressed at the amount of thoughtful work that had gone into our reopening. Mm-hmm. And that started, I would say, you know, almost immediately after we closed, we were already thinking about what can we do, what do we need to be thinking about when we're able to reopen. And that started, we put together a team of representatives from all areas of the museum. So each of us were coming at this from our own perspectives, and you put that together, and it became a very comprehensive plan.
It sounds like it. And what kind of services are still available there in the reopening for children?
Well, right now, Martin Art Quest is closed, but I would hasten to add that we have online a portion of our website is called fristkids.org, fristkids.org. And on that portion of our website, there are a large number of videos for children and families that were produced in cooperation and partnership with Nashville Public Television. And the whole idea behind them was to create the opportunity for making art at home. Mm-hmm. And there are guides for different projects. They're there for teachers to use, for parents to use. But the idea, Dr. Tommy Frist had the idea, what can we do to export ArtQuest to larger audiences, to the people who can't get to the Frist? What mm-hmm. can we do to export that hands-on art-making experience? And so FristKids.org, which has lived on the website for many years now, a number of years, has been there all the time. I will say the traffic on that site has increased. I think the last I heard was almost 800%.
Oh, wow.
Families and teachers and educators are looking for resources to use. Mm-hmm. I know the guest you had on earlier, and your questions were about what kind of resources are out there. Mm-hmm. Well, we've got another one that deals with art making that relates mm-hmm. to things you can find in your backyard and as you travel around the city.
That is excellent. So, and keeping in mind what you just said, is it best not to bring the children with you when you go? Because, I mean, or should they be with you or what?
Well, you know, we believe the entire building is for children of all ages. And even smaller children can get a lot out of coming and just being in the presence of great art.
Right.
And one of the best things, I think you can go to our website and download resources to prepare children and to create some discussion points so
okay.
that when people are coming into the gallery, you have something to talk about with children.
That's true.
So they're, I think children are, the eyes of children are absolutely extraordinary.
Yes.
And they take in far more than many adults do.
Mm-hmm.
And we see and hear lively conversations mm. going on all the time among members of a family, and that goes from the little tiny ones to grandparents, and so
yeah.
we really encourage that. And even though we can't open ArtQuest just yet, we feel like that being in the presence of art is worth
yeah.
a lot and is life changing yeah. for many.
Definitely take your mind off of things so you can
yeah.
relax a little bit. Well, that is you've taken us through telling us all about it, but that's one side of what you all do there. But you also do a lot in the community, L. Empire, and I know it. And you know, I'm just so happy that we're going to get a chance to, when this, you know, crossed my head, I'm home, quarantined, I guess, with campus. And I said, I got to do something, God. I need something to do for the paper. And, you know, you crossed my mind in 52 different ways wondering, you know, because I've been watching the mayor and the phases and the different things and the people and wishing,
yeah.
you know. So, and the mask, we're going to do a mask giveaway.
Yep.
And I'm just so tickled to death to have this blessing to get to work with you and the Metro Health Department to do something good for the community. And
well, we are really looking forward to it and are so grateful and thankful to you, Sharon, and to the Health Department for undertaking this this initiative and for us to be a part of it.
Oh,
is
yeah.
really
Oh,
it's an
yeah.
honor for us, so we are tremendously grateful for the opportunity.
Tuesday, July 21st, we're going to
yep.
do a get your mask and go. I hate to make it sound like that, but it's a drive-thru. It's a valet parking drive-thru. And your building used to be the post office, so that's perfect.
Right, and the way I've described it to people is, remember how you used to line up to mail your taxes? Drive through and drop them in those boxes. That's where we're going to be doing it.
How could they forget?
That's going to be a really efficient way to distribute as many masks as we can
yes.
During the period of time we've got. And I think our plan is to be there at 10 o'clock and stay there until noon or until the last mask is given away.
Yeah.
So we are so supportive of Mayor Cooper's efforts and all of the things that
yes.
that he is doing and the health department is doing
yes.
to try to contain and stop the spread of this COVID-19 nightmare. And so for us to be a part of this in such a direct way is we're so pleased to be able to do this.
Definitely. Well, I'm excited too. And I want some of our listeners to just come through. I can't, you know, do my normal, but I can give you the wave like crazy. I can hand you the mask and give you the wave. But we want you to come by. We're going to be doing a broadcast from there. You'll see our tent up, our canopy tent up. And we'll be out there. We'll be the happy people giving away the mask, okay?
We sure will. The way people came to drop off their taxes, you know, head toward the river. And if you're heading down Broadway toward the river, you'll pull off on the right to just come through that drive-through, and you probably won't even have to stop your car.
Right.
We're gonna be positioned to get you in and out of there in a hurry.
In and out, get your mask and go. Next, so we can get as many of them given away as possible, and folks can get on their way and do the very safe things that they need to do. Ellen, as always, you know, y'all are awesome over there, and you know it, and I know it. The community knows it, and we appreciate you so much. But we'll see you soon next week.
Oh, boy. Yeah. I look forward to it. I hate the reason we're having to do it, but...
I know. But we can collaborate on. We didn't get to do the festival this year, but we can certainly do something like this to keep our collaborations going.
Thank you so much, Sharon. Thank you to the health department. Thank you to Public Works, who has made this possible.
Yeah.
So we're grateful all around.
Amen.
Okay.
Thank you so much. Have a good rest of the day.
You too. See you next week.
All right. Bye-bye. Bye. That was Helen. Ellen Pryor from the communications office and director and all at the FRIST, and just keeps us, you know, keeps that FRIST, that staff over there. They keep it, you know, people love the FRIST Art Museum, love it. And, you know, the community comes out and supports it. And I know you missed it, but it's open and we'll be with them. Station is sponsoring this event on the 21st, 2 hours. We're in, we're out. Okay? We ain't got all day. We got to do this, we got to move on. The little drive-thru on Broadway, where it used to be the mailboxes and stuff, the little cuddy and ballet, they turn into a ballet now. But just come on through. You see the WFSK tent. We'll be waving and passing them out. And next... Yeah, we're trying to do this as safe and effective as possible. Anyway, thank you for that, and we'll be reminding you as many times as we can between now and then to just, you know, mask up, y'all, and quit playing. Let's get this thing together so we can be done. Let's just do it. Let's take a time out, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.
What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is brought to you by Terry W. Jones, independent agent, State Farm Insurance. Life insurance is one of those subjects that makes people want to change the subject rather than admit they probably don't have enough. That's why State Farm agent Terry W. Jones focuses on how the benefits of life insurance actually live on by asking people to think in terms of life without having to sell the house, insurance, or life without having to give up college, insurance. Find out how the benefits of life insurance can live on for your family. Call State Farm agent Terry W. Jones in Nashville at 615-256-6066 or online at terrywjones.net and put the life back in life insurance.
Good afternoon. It's still very slow go up in Sumner County due to an accident on 109 northbound near Pumping Station Road. Again, that's going to be in that part of Sumner County. There's a crash Dickerson Pike at I-65 East Nashville getting some attention. Just busy out here as expected on the South Loop, the West Loop, and 65 down into Brentwood. This traffic report brought to you by Bars Music City Soul Food at barsmusiccitysoulfood.com. I'm Commander Chuck. You're on time traffic.
This weekend on Blues Time in the City.
You have to come from the good.
That's Jeff Floyd. He's talking this weekend from the gut. He has the Fast Track Blues Soundbite. And we'll have O.V. Wright performing one of his past performances live this weekend. And I'm going to give you my top 10 summer listening blues album. This is good. Join me, Arrojine Bailey, for Blues Time in the City this weekend right here.
Catch Blues Time in the City Sundays from 8 to 10 p.m. right here on Jazzy 88.
Jazzy 88 WFSK, Nashville's jazz station, and our community partners, the Frist Art Museum and the Metro Health Department, are having a mask giveaway on Tuesday, July 21st from 10 a.m. to 12 noon. We'll be live on location at the Frist Museum, 919 Broadway outside in the Valet Drive-Thru. All you have to do is drive through, get your free mask, and go. We're doing our part for the community. That's our community mask giveaway Tuesday, July 21st from 10 a.m. to 12 noon. It's one of our ways to encourage Nashvillians and visitors to the city to mask up for health's sake in slowing down the COVID-19 pandemic in our city.
Keep up with the guests and topics on What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. Friend us on Facebook and Twitter. Search under Sharon Kay's 411.
It's What's the 411. Here again, Sharon Kay.
All right, to Nashville. Sharon Kay is in the house. Mighty glad to be on Jazzy 88 WFSK, historic Fisk University. And What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is brought to you by Terry W. Jones, independent agent, State Farm Insurance. We thank you so very much for supporting What's the 411. And I am very, very honored to have this young lady on with me today. Her name is Keisha Green. Keisha has been speaking very loudly and very publicly about how to excel despite your challenges, and she knows all too well about challenges. Keisha is a successful entrepreneur, a strategic business coach, and author, and is a bilateral amputee. And Keisha, I'm so happy to have you with me today. How are you?
Listen, I am doing amazing. I am just so grateful on this evening for you guys having me on.
Well, we're grateful to see your beautiful face, girl. You're smiling on this photo. I said, look, look at you, baby. You're looking good on here.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Now, you live in Georgia?
I currently live in Georgia. I am a native of Syracuse, New York.
Oh. How long you been in the Georgia area?
I've been in Georgia 11 years. It's going to be 12 years.
Okay.
Coming up on 12 years I've been here.
Okay. You've seen a lot change and some stuff not change for sure. And can you talk to the audience that may or may not be familiar with your story about being a bilateral amputee and what that actually means?
All right. So listen, a little bit about who I am is my name is Keisha Green, but I go by the Legless Diva. And I go by the Legless Diva because I am a bilateral amputee, which means that I'm missing two limbs. And it's bilateral because the below, so I'm missing both legs. So I'm an AK and a BK. So a BK is below the knee, so I'm below knee on the right. And I'm an AK on the left, which means that they're just like two different limbs. One has a knee and one don't, okay? So that's kind of what it means. But, you know, 2013, I was in a tragic car accident, losing both of the legs. Mm-hmm. But, you know, God has been faithful to me through that.
Yes.
And he's allowed me to truly be able to stand tall and to be able to do some things that I know I would not have been able to do had he not done what he did for me.
Mm. Were you in New York when this happened?
No, I actually had the car accident right here in Atlanta.
In Atlanta?
I'm coming up. Yes.
Oh. Wow.
Yes, this August will be 7 years. So I'm coming up on my 7-year anniversary on August the 23rd.
Mm. Wow. This, and you're a mom too? And going through, tell us a little bit about how you had to learn how to walk and to communicate around, this amputation and getting, yourself from one place to another, and it changed dramatically your entire life. Can you share that with us, please?
Yeah, I think one of the things was that, being able to move forth in the transition and to just truly be able to go with my faith and to trust God during this situation kind of came along the way. I was born and raised, in the church, but I spent many years with religion without relationship. And, I did have a relationship when I lost the leg. I would say that I was able to do a lot of the things because I had taken care of a woman who could not walk for a year and a half before I lost the leg. So I was a CNA. So I already knew kind of like how to, modify movement and different things like that, just kind of like from my work, from my career at this time. Mm-hmm. But also, they told me when I was in the hospital, they say, most people walk in 18 months. But, God allowed me to walk in 8 months, but I also was able to figure out that walking was something that was kind of just like forced upon me or mm-hmm. offered to me, I should say.
So you you weren't angry at or upset or mad. Some people, consequences and things in their life, they take it one way. But you had a relationship, a faith-based relationship. So is that where you turned?
I truly immediately turned to my faith. But see, they say I spent 2 days on a respirator, but I spent 2 days with the Lord, where he let me know that the legs that I had was not strong enough to walk into the territory that he had for me. So I knew that he and I was going to go on a journey, and I didn't need to walk this journey. It was going to be different.
Well, it certainly has been. And without, me being all up in your business, but I am curious, how have... During a pandemic, and you already are dealing with the health issues and the things that you have as a result of this car wreck, how does it make you nervous to you live in Georgia and it's the governor there is not acknowledging anything there. It's just acting like this is a different day. So how does that make you nervous, upset, concerned?
Well, this is the thing. I don't really see myself as having any health issues. I don't have any health issues. I'm strong. I'm powerful. I'm medication-free. I don't go to doctor's appointments or any of that. I've never been back into surgery. So I'm actually a totally and fully healed and capable woman. So I just believe that even though I have a connection with the amputee community, I believe that we all see it the same as everyone else.
Okay.
I don't really think that amputation makes a difference to how you feel about being safe within your health and or protecting your family. Also, amputation doesn't often... It does, but a lot of people's amputations, I wouldn't say, come from things that are like a high-risk place, if that makes sense. Yeah, so I think we all pretty much handle it the same. I really think it's worse being a mom of teenagers who want to go outside.
Yeah, most definitely. Yeah, because they... they really want to be the, children and, have a good time. But this is a most unusual time. This much likely to be a once-in-a-lifetime event for so many of us.
And I, And that's the thing, so it makes it new for everyone. You know, it's truly a process that we have to trust. Along with just trust to see what's going to take place. It's new. It's not something that we have the rules or the directions of how to get it done or, you know, how long it's going to be. We just have to trust beyond what we can see. So, you know, I remember listening to a song this morning that says, even though I don't see you, you're working. Mm-hmm. Even when I don't feel you, you're working. Yeah. So it's like, even though we can't see it, we got to know it's going to work. It's coming together. It's going to happen. I think the pandemic is just really, truly a test of faith.
Mm-hmm. No question about it. And Christians ought to be leading the way out here. Should be. Anyway, Keisha, you are known as a successful entrepreneur. And is it connected to your nonprofit organization, or are these separate entities?
I have separate entities, so I do have my nonprofit organization, which is the Love and Legs Foundation, where I'm able to connect and collaborate with other women, like my Legless Divas and my Wheelchair Divas, which are women in wheelchairs who are beautiful, or women who are amputees that are beautiful, and I like to call them divas. And I have a few other things I do, like building my luxury with accessibility projects, which is my real estate investing, which is also a part of why I built out my salon suite building. So I have a few different entities. They're not all connected, profit and nonprofit.
Excellent. And I say that you are aware and study the universal laws of success. And definitely, I know that you know that things that you put out and what you do, that's reciprocity, and that law number four, what you put out, you get back. How has that impacted your ability to get to combine your nonprofit work, your business entrepreneurship?
Well, I think one of the things is that God has given me the gift to be able to brand from broken. So everything that I have is connected to what he's done for me and what it is that he has for me to do for the world. And so I believe that he's allowed me to be able to cross brand those things, to be able to allow my impact to be my income, and allow my purpose to allow me to be prosperous. And I just trust him in those areas, and he just kind of directs me, leads me, and guides me, and shows me what to do.
And knowing that is the case, how did you use that to apply to you to have you become so successful?
Well, the thing is, originally, when I first started off, like after the accident, which was 2013, immediately some doors started opening up for me, but I believe that I wasn't ready, so I was kind of like forced into some things. And I had to take a step back and just truly, like, feed my mind, you know, really get my mindset in place to be able to be a leader. You know, I needed to prepare for leadership. So I spent a lot of time in isolation just really getting my mind stronger and getting my mental in place, because I believe that the ability of your mind is stronger than any disability.
So from this experience, you've been able to write two books and also to become a business coach. Tell us more about your books and what would a reader find inside?
Well, my book, Severance of Faith, and also Walking Through It All, they are just both very powerful, faith-driven books that just really show you how to be able to trust the trials that you're going through and allow them to be trails that take you into your triumph. And just talk about different seasons in your life where you can really reflect and you can look back and you can see that those things did not seem great at that time, but you could truly see how those things were setting you up for where you are today and how they were truly preparing you for your purpose. If you're truly willing, though, to also, it takes to have the mindset to be able to say what over the why.
Amen, sister. Now, that's what's up right there. What over why. Are you going to go deep on us today, Keisha Green? I give y'all something to think about today. Now, when we come back from the break, I want you to talk about your real estate work and what it is that, in particular, that you do, and also more information on the empowerment and encouragement that you give to businesses and to individuals as they sit around in despair or whatever position of they find themselves in, so they can be encouraged and know that it's not over till it's over. Let's take a time out and we'll be right back.
You're listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.
What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is brought to you by Terry W. Jones, independent agent, State Farm Insurance. Life insurance is one of those subjects that makes people want to change the subject rather than admit they probably don't have enough. That's why State Farm agent Terry W. Jones focuses on how the benefits of life insurance actually live on by asking people to think in terms of life without having to sell the house, insurance, or life without having to give up college, insurance. Find out how the benefits of life insurance can live on for your family. Call State Farm agent Terry W. Jones in Nashville at 615-256-6066 or online at terrywjones.net and put the life back in life insurance.
Good afternoon. They're still trying to upright that car in Sumner County that flipped on its top, Highway 109 northbound at Pumping Station Road. Again, that's up in Sumner County. 5700 block of OHB there in Hermitage are still working that crash. 8th and Craighead, that's a crash over in Berry Hill. Dickerson Pike at I-65 being cleared up. This traffic report is brought to you by Cosby Creek Cabins near Gatlinburg. That's CosbyCreekCabins.com. I'm Commander Chuck. You're on time traffic.
Jazzy 88 WFSK is reminding you that your vote is your voice. Early voting for the state and federal primary runs from July 17th through August 1st. Important seats for various offices are on this year's ballot. If you're a registered voter and do not wish to vote in person due to the COVID-19 pandemic, you are eligible to request an absentee ballot by mail. It must be completed and received in the Davidson County Election Commission office by July 30th. You also have the option to vote in person during early voting or on election day. And again, WFSK, Nashville's Jazz Station, is reminding you that your vote is most definitely your voice.
It's What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.
Hello, Nashville. Coming up Sunday morning at 7, news headlines and issues of the day. Then at 7:30, it's the 411 Show's Pastors Roundtable for the month of July. Guest pastors are Reverend Leon Corder of Swift Tabernacle and Reverend Jerry Maynard of Southside Community Church.
That's What's the 411 with Sharon Kay, twice a week, every Sunday morning from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. and every Wednesday afternoon from 4 to 6 p.m. right here on Jazzy 88 WFSK.
Keep up with the guests and topics on What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. Friend us on Facebook and Twitter. Search under Sharon Kay's 411.
It's What's the 411. Here again, Sharon Kay.
All right, to Nashville. Sharon Kay is in the house. Mighty glad to be on Jazzy 88 WFSK. And I'm going to reintroduce my guest in just a second, but I do want to say that if you're thinking weather-wise, just think hot, 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 because that's how it's going to be. Today was hot, tomorrow's hot, the next day, and the next day, and the next day. That's why this is summertime, because it's hot. We have a chance for rain, though, tomorrow that goes from 30, excuse me, to 60%. And so tomorrow night, 50. Next couple days, Friday, 60. So we'll be getting a little bit of rain. It's not going to really cool it off. It's going to make it humid because chances for rain return over the weekend. So you know how those showers do. They pop in and pop out. Some sides of town get it and some don't. But we are hot, hot, and hot. It's summertime. 94 in the city. And thank you for listening to the Global Family. Listening online at WFSKFM.org. Now, Keisha Green is a blessed person and truly a miracle. And Keisha, during the break, I looked at the vehicle, the pictures of the vehicle from the August 23rd, 2013 accident. I feel like I'm talking to a miracle, okay? You. I honestly do. It's unbelievable to see that somebody survived this, looking at this car. So I'm very honored to have you on today as the miracle.
Oh, thank you.
As a miracle, you are a miracle, and God just wanted you here. So So I'm very, very, very honored to talk to you. Now, Keisha, before the break, I had mentioned that your business and your entrepreneurship and your work in the real estate. And all of that. That what you were you involved in the real estate before the auto accident, auto crash?
No, I wasn't involved in real estate before. I always had the desire to be in real estate before.
Mm-hmm.
It was truly after the accident that I realized that there was a strong need for accessibility properties.
Mm-hmm.
As well as businesses and that even places and things that I never paid attention to, of course, they became more of a part of my life. So I got to be able to realize that things were really different. Like I couldn't go to the friends' houses I used to go to. I couldn't get my hair done in the places I used to get it done. You know, there was places I would get my lashes done. I couldn't go do that anymore. So that's when I kind of started really taking the real estate thing more seriously.
So what, how, when you're, you feel like this was divine, don't you, in a way?
Absolutely.
Because no one was really doing that specific customer, were they?
No, ma'am.
Well, as you begin, how did you, did it just wake up one day and you said, I think I want to serve this? Or because you were going through the things that you had in your life with your amputation that you became so aware?
Well, I just became aware from being in a chair. I was able to see the need of what people really needed and what was going on. So that's where that came in at. But also, and like I said, it was the main factor was that I couldn't go to places that I wanted to go, like to get my hair done.
Sure.
And all that kind of stuff. I was like, okay, but I did realize that, you know, with me being from Syracuse, New York, it's like everybody in Syracuse, New York has spears at their house, you know, different things like that. Because when I came out of the hospital, I had spears on my house. So that was another thing that, you know, helped me to really recognize the problem very fast was the fact that I couldn't get my own house.
Right, right. Had it other people started hearing about you doing this? And your phone started ringing or what?
Well, my phone started ringing, but on top of that, I just kind of started making moves and like pushing it and kind of making people aware because honestly, if you live in a home that if you were to become me tomorrow, you can't live in it, it's a bad investment.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I also started seeing the need to be able to protect the dollar. You know, protect your investment, protect your dreams.
Mm-hmm.
And if you say, you know, that's your forever home, because if you're me, I don't care how much you pay for your forever home. If you come home from the hospital as me myself and all you have is spiral stairwells all through your house, no elevator set up, no master bedroom on the main, that house is no longer beautiful to you. So there's only 1% of homes being built that are accessible in the United States.
1%, my Lord. So when you're looking, does that mean that to find this units, places for folks, the amputees, to live, does that mean that they have to pay more, or are they relegated to some area, or how does that work? And I'm sure, as somebody that has a nonprofit, that's probably part of what your nonprofit does to work to make sure that they're not discriminated against.
Well, the thing is that we make sure they don't get discriminated against, and not just on properties, because there's a lot of people who get scammed on prosthetics from different companies and things like that, as well as people knowing, becoming aware of what, you know, equipment exactly that they need, so that they're not buying equipment that they don't need or, again, being taken advantage of. But also to be able to, it's not the XP, that's the thing. I just said something to you, and I said, if you were to become me, would you be able to live in your home? So, no, that means anybody. If anybody was to become in a situation where they could no longer walk up those stairs, or they were in a wheelchair and life just was not the same, would you still appreciate that property? So accessible, luxury with accessible properties are for everybody.
Truly, truly. So when are you... did you have to bring it to the attention of some of the builders? And because, you know, it's all about the money. And or were they understanding when you were on the search?
Oh, yeah, they're understanding. They're understanding. They're very understanding. And a lot of them do know about the regulations for accessibility and how to make things accessible and the requirements to do so. A lot of people, they just don't build them because people don't create the floor plans and builders aren't asking for that.
So does your part of your company, do you help? Do they contact you, or they contact your nonprofit?
They contact my nonprofit. We can help create floor plans. We can help to get builders. We can help to find the land needed if we need to build, but we also do renovations.
Oh, Lord, you got a whole lot going on, honey. You got the whole package going on. And this would be also include veterans. And
yes, ma'am.
Oh, wow. Wow,
yes,
that is beautiful. So just for the sake, because this is radio, name some of the areas. Like I know the ramps. Wider doors, I'm assuming, for the chair.
Ramps, wider doors, you know. We could have different setups as far as, like, our cabinets and things like that in a home, being able to drive underneath some of the cabinets. Also, you know, placing the microwaves and things like that in different places. Also, like, when you think about where your garage clothes are. Where you push the button to open or close your garage, you know, on where it's located. It's never an accessible place for someone else. Let me see some of the other things I can point out to you. It's like, I think another thing that I really loved that I heard them talking about even from the COVID was making the touch-free doors. You know, that is something that should have been available, but it's crazy how people will brand from broken. Okay? How people will brand from broken, because that is a system that should have been put into place just because there's people who need that accessibility.
Right. So a touchless door.
Wow. We have those at the shopping centers, though. You think about some of the stores, you just walk up, the door is wide open.
Well, that's true. Just don't forget to lock it.
Well, you know, we're talking about, like, you know, business places and things like that, so I'm sure they'll lock them up after that. But those are options that should have been available to the community and to the disability community. And it shouldn't have taken for a virus to come to where everyone didn't really want to touch things for them to be willing to make that change and make those things happen in the community. But, you know, things will continue to grow and things will continue to shift. Because amputation is not foreign, it's not a disease. Mm-hmm. 500 people lose a limb a day, so it's realistic.
You are just simply amazing, young lady, and you are so beautiful. I looked at her, I was like, look at sister. Girl, you looking good down there in Georgia. You have that beautiful smile and everything. So, I mean, you know, despite whatever you have challenged that you went through, it's clear that, you know who the Savior is.
Amen. Yeah. And like you said something when I first came out, and you was like, you're like a miracle. And I normally tell people that, you know, there's nothing like being your own personal miracle. So I thank God for allowing me to be that.
Oh, yes. You absolutely are. So for people who are sitting around complaining about everything all the time, you are such an inspiration. Now, to find your books and more about the nonprofit, and of course, you know, how you help your work with the amputees, is there one stop place or what would you suggest?
Yeah, they can go to KeishaGreen.com.
Oh, simply go to her website. There you go. Keisha, you are a blessing, and I thank God for you. And I'm so grateful that he kept you and still continues to let your light shine.
Well, I appreciate you. Thank you so much for having me on today.
Of course.
And I pray that you continue to be blessed and you stay safe in this season.
Oh, yes, honey. And prayed up.
That hurts too.
Yeah. Thank you so much and have a good rest of the day, darling, okay?
Thank you. You do the same. Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye. That was Keisha Green. Her story is absolutely amazing.
Yes, it was.
Man. I mean, when I saw the vehicle, I was like, I don't look at it too long. You won't be able to do this show. She is so fortunate to be alive. And it's not bitter and angry or nothing.
Yeah, making the most.
Yeah, totally.
Yep.
Totally.
Yep.
Oh, man. So I'm just saying, a bilateral amputee with 3 teenage sons.
Yeah.
Not sitting around complaining. But I gotta wear a mask.
I know, right?
Whatever. Oh, Lord, could we just please, Lord, if the people would just do what they're supposed to do and quit the discord and the sowing of the negative salt and, you know, let's get it done, y'all. This is not about Republican and Democrat and Trump love and no love. It's not about that. It wasn't 102 years ago, and it's not now. Help us, Lord. All right, Nashville. That's all A-L-L we have for you today. You'll have the very best of the best. And don't forget who loves you.
You've been listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station and its management.
You're listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.